Will you bow your heads and hearts in prayer with me? Lord, for the privilege of standing before your people, for touching my lips with your hot coal, Lord, I give you thanks and ask you just let me get through this. Lord, just be with me. In Jesus' name, amen. We are a people called to be sent. When I first started in ministry, well, actually the year before I started in ministry, 19 years ago, I went to annual conference and then Bishop Joseph Yackel spoke about the method used to place clergy in churches. He reminded those of us who were gathered that pastors are called by God and the cabinet to be deployed or sent to be with congregations for a time. And then after a while, they're sent to a new congregation. And I really like the way he put it, for a time. And it stayed with me. And even though I didn't really know what it meant, I knew it intellectually, but emotionally and physically and spiritually, I didn't. And today, I stand before you to tell you that now I know intimately what it means emotionally and physically and spiritually. We've been living with the reality of this for about 5 weeks now. And we've been always been preparing for me to depart as your pastor and for Pastor Chris and his family to be sent to you to pastor you. Being called by God to be sent, however, applies to you, the layperson, as well as to the pastor. For as Christians, we are called by God to be sent out, not to a new church, but rather into the world to witness and gather disciples in the very best way that we can. Our movement for worship service even suggests the very dynamic. First, we gather through the grace of God. We worship to glorify God. And following worship, we're sent forth to make a difference for Christ in the world in the week to come. And the strength and motivation for making a difference comes from the connection that we have with our living Lord. The passage that Janice read this morning from the ancient word speaks of Isaiah, that famous Old Testament prophet, who in his portion of scripture becomes acutely aware of God calling him to be sent out to people with words of witness, words of judgment, and words of challenge. And we gather that Isaiah at this point in his life perhaps was suffering from maybe a diminished sense of self-worth. As he hears God's call, he says, "Who am I, sinner that I am, a man of unclean lips, that I would be sent in your name? Answer me that, God." And God, who never calls on anyone without giving them the means to go forth, delivers to the lips of Isaiah a burning coal from the altar, the place where God's presence is most strongly felt. And rather than sending Isaiah to the burn unit at Sinai Hospital, this coal purifies those unclean lips and clears the way for Isaiah to respond enthusiastically, "Here I am, Lord, send me." So when God calls us forth in ministry, God gives us the means to do it. So when you go forth in your world this day, go forth for God, and you'll have all you need for the journey. Well, I go forth today to go back into retirement. This is going to be my re-retirement until they call me again. Or maybe go to serve another church for a time. I'm sent, unclean lips and all, to serve where I believe God wants me to be. And Pastor Chris Dembeck, in 2 weeks, will be standing in this pulpit, having been sent by God to be with you. In cleaning my office files the other day, I came across an article entitled "The 10 Commandments from the Outgoing Pastor." And I think that it would be helpful to us in this time of pastoral transition. the first commandment. Thou shalt not compare the new pastor and the old pastor, for verily they are two different people. Pastor Chris is not Reverend Ann. Please don't compare him to me. He has different gifts for ministry, and he will bless you richly in many different areas. He has gifts I don't have, and you need to discover them for yourselves. The second commandment, thou shalt not say to the new pastor, but our last minister did it this way. Expect change. Things are going to change. They're going to be different in a very good way. So be prepared for God to bring change into your lives. Before we do the third commandment, Terry, where are those tablets when I need them? The third commandment, thou shalt not call back the outgoing pastor for funerals or weddings or baptisms. Yea, they are the responsibilities of the ministries of the new pastor. Now, we've talked about this before. So please give Pastor Chris the best chance you can give him. He's a wonderful pastor. And all I'm asking you is to let him be your pastor. The fourth commandment, thou shalt not send to the former pastor, not in any way communicate with him or her matters of gossip or problems. You hear me? I doubt seriously that you'll have any problems, but they are not for my ears, they are for God's ears. The fifth commandment, thou shalt not withhold thine exceeding great capacity of love for the new pastoral family. Thou shalt love them as thou hast loved me, and even more abundantly. That sounds biblical. I know you will love him, and I am certain that he will love you. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not prejudice persons and things for the new pastor. He will have the ability to judge for himself in wisdom and in truth. So let Pastor Chris form his own impression. Let him judge for himself. He's a very intelligent pastor. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not fail. Where's the PPR? Listen to this. Listen up. Thou shalt not fail to review the new pastor's salary annually and increase it as a symbol of love and appreciation. I couldn't help it, Pat. I know this shouldn't be a problem because you've always been more than fair with me in evaluating my salary, and I thank you for it. The eighth commandment, thou shalt not speak too often of thy former pastor, and when thou dost, may it be kindly. Please be sensitive to the fact that speaking too often about the former pastor in a way diminishes the ministry of the new pastor. He will be important to you. Just remember to help him to feel important also. The ninth commandment, thou shalt not forget the new pastoral family at Christmas and on their birthdays with thoughtful remembrances. Just keep doing with Pastor Chris what you've always done with me. Your generous spirit and your gifts will remain in my heart forever, for you have left your heart print on my heart. The tenth commandment, thou shalt not forget to pray for the new pastor and his family regularly. Most people don't think that pastors need prayer, but we really do. So please surround Pastor Chris with not only your love, but also your heartfelt prayers. It's not easy for me to leave you. And although necessary, it will not be easy disconnecting myself from you as your pastor. For it has been my privilege to share with you over these last 2 years in some of the most intimate moments of your life. Baptisms and weddings, hospitalizations and family crises, funerals and the breaking of bread at the Lord's table. These have been times of bonding, of wonderful connection. We've laughed and we've cried in worship. We've prayed with each other. We've argued. We've made up. We've faced the challenges of family life, and we've grown together in God's abundant grace. And it's hard to let all of that good stuff go. And in the next 2 weeks, I want you to know that 102 pastoral families will move into new churches or extension ministries in the Baltimore-Washington Conference. I've counted them. And nationwide, thousands of clergy families will move, and many churches will choose as their final hymn the familiar, "Blessed be the tie that binds." Traditionally, this beloved hymn is used as an affirmation upon our leaving each other's company. But this hymn is interesting enough, and Ben should be here. We'll have to tell him about it. It was actually written by a British Baptist on the occasion of him deciding not to leave his church. Here's the story. In 1782, the village pastor was leaving Wainsgate, a Yorkshire village in northern England. The salary for a Baptist pastor, close your ears, Pat. The salary for the Baptist pastor was the equivalent of $200 a year. Too little for his growing family, whom he desperately wanted to educate. He'd been called to a much larger church in London to succeed the noted expositor, Dr. Gill. And certainly the call seemed to be an answer to prayer, since there was little future for such a talented man in Wainsgate. And as the men of the church were loading the wagons with the minister's furniture and books, they had come to the very last load. Men, women, and children stood around, weeping for the loss of their beloved pastor and friend. And even the Anglicans hated to see him go. The pastor and his wife could not restrain their tears as precious memories welled up with the appearance of every familiar face. At last, his wife said to him, "John, I cannot bear this. I know not how to leave." And the pastor says, "Nor I either. Where will we go? Unload the wagons. Put everything back in the place where it was." And they unloaded, and they stayed until his death in 1817, 33 more years. Honey, you do not want that to happen to you. A part of my heart fantasizes about not moving a single thing out of this church. But we know that we are called to be sent. And so are you. We have learned together that the tie that binds us into community is our love for and acceptance of one another as God's chosen people. That which truly connects God's people to another in a congregation is not the presence of a particular pastor. It's not the building in which the people meet. It's not the programs or even the gifts that God's people bring into the community of faith, but all of that is important. But the tie that truly binds us to one another is our willingness to love and accept and help each other grow as a family. The tie that binds our hearts in Christian love doesn't happen by accident. It comes through practice and struggle and hard times and good times. And as we heard from the gospel this morning, it comes most especially as we, the branches, stay connected to Christ, the vine. For it is from Christ Jesus that we receive our energy, our hope, and our life. It's only from Christ Jesus that we're able to bear much fruit. It's only through Christ that the family ties are truly bound. And it's only through Christ that no matter how close or far away we may be from those we love, in Christ we'll always be connected through that tie that truly binds. And so, my friends, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Ooh, I didn't want to do this. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. And when we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. I want you to remember that you're called by God for one purpose: to be sent out to do good works, to gather disciples for Christ. And as you go forth, always know that you will be in my heart, and more importantly, know that God goes with you. Let us pray. Lord, bless your people in this season of transition, O Lord. May we all know the tie that binds and draw strength every day from our connection with you, the living vine which we receive our breath and our life, our energy, our hope, and our peace. Amen.